Well, praise God. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Thank you, Elizabeth, for your artwork there. We were made for days like this. God's people are made for days like this. When the world's full of fear, when the world's anxious, all the, their gods are coming down. I mean, you think about it. There's no sports. There's no sports happening. That's the greatest distraction in as has been in our nation, one of the greatest. And there's none happening right now. So there's no fix for that itch to get distracted and caught up in something to take me away from God. Broadway is closed down. There's no place to go to. And people are going to be needing something and looking for something. Who's going to give it to them? Come on. That's what we were made for. This is not a time to cower away in fear in the basement with our bottled water and toilet paper all around us. It's okay to have a few of those things, but I want to tell you a story. I want to read a little story of a guy a few hundred years ago. His name was John Wesley. He was an unconverted young man who was going to Georgia to preach. And they were in a hurricane. And he was on a ship with a bunch of these Moravians, radical Moravian Christians, men, women, and children. I want to read this story to you and listen to what happened here. In 1735, John and Charles Wesley were on their way to America as Anglican missionaries. A group of Moravian immigrants from Germany were also on the ship. A terrible storm developed at sea and they were in danger of being shipwrecked. The Moravians were in the midst of a worship service and praising God with much intensity. Wesley was terrified. Wesley recounts the event in his diary. In the midst of the psalm, wherewith their service began, the sea broke over, split the mainsail in pieces, covered the ship, and poured in between the decks as if the great deep had already swallowed us up. A terrible screaming began among the English. The Germans calmly sang on. I asked one of them afterwards, "Were you not afraid?" He answered, "I thank God, no." I asked, "But were not your women and children afraid?" He replied mildly, "No, our women and children are not afraid to die." The storm was boisterous, but the Moravians kept praising God. Do you know that was one of the things that led him to the Lord? He was a God-fearing young man. He was a man going as a missionary, but he didn't know Jesus yet. But when he saw the life of these people who had something so real that they could be going down into the deep as far as they knew, and they just kept singing their psalm and praising God. That challenges me. Does that challenge you? It does. But isn't that what's needed in our day? Isn't that what you want to be? This is an opportunity. I believe this is an answer to prayer. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't pray, you know, like we did here today, for mercy of God and for Him to use it and so forth, to spare life. I believe some of these things are actually answers to prayer. That we've been praying, "Oh God, work in us, work in your church. Get rid of the hypocrisy. Bring us to reality. Make us your body on the earth." So let's not be freaked out by it. But let's see it as our opportunity. But in order for it to be that, this is what we need, isn't it? We need faith. And I have a message here today. It's called Four Pillars of an unshakable faith. Four pillars of an unshakable faith. Wouldn't you like to have a faith like we just read about? That you could be on an airplane, let's say, that's going to crash, and you and your family could be singing praises to the Lord, even in the midst of a screaming tumult of people that are without God and without hope. How can we get there? What does that take? That's some of the things I want to talk about here today. How can we have that kind of faith? And I believe it starts in the potholes. And our faith can grow. So let's let the Lord do that. You know, there's some things in the Bible that are bigger to God and some things that are smaller. Isn't that true? Faith is one of the biggies. It's one of the biggest. 1 Corinthians 13, it says, but these three abide, or these three last forever. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. But faith is one of those big three. And faith, it says in Hebrews, without faith it's impossible to please God. Think about what that means this morning. You can do all kinds of things. You can do all kinds of service. You can do all kinds of prayers, whatever. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's not possible. Faith is what God requires. Faith is what God is looking for. In Hebrews there it says, the just shall live by faith, but if any draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. These are days where people are tempted to draw back, to seek the arm of the flesh. How can I make myself safe? God says he'll have no pleasure if any draw back. And it says further that whatsoever is not of faith is what? It's sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. So faith is not a little thing. You think about the ministry of Jesus on the earth. The thing he commended most frequently was faith. I'm not sure if he commended anything else. I don't know. And what did he reprove most? Hypocrisy, but faith was probably the unbelief. That's what he reproved. He said things like, your faith has saved you. Your faith has made you whole. According to your faith, be it unto you. Many things like that throughout his ministry. And he made this amazing statement. He said, all things are possible to him that believes. I like ones like that. Yeah, it just kind of covers everything. All things are possible to him that believes, Jesus said. So faith is a huge matter, and it's what we need in this hour. The world around us does not have faith, do they? You know, and I was working this week at a woman's house, and she had the TV on the whole day. I had earplugs in for a lot of it because I didn't want to hear it all. But no, I wasn't using my heavy equipment, loud equipment. I took the put the earplugs in anyway. But you know, it was just thing after thing. You know, oh, this is happening now, and that's happening next, and you know, everything's going down the tubes, and you know, the whole world's going to end, and it just kept on going. And for somebody to sit in front of that all day long, oh my. How could you do that and not come away with fear? And so I just want to encourage us. That's not what we're supposed to sit in front of. It's okay to stay up on things and, you know, understand what the authorities are saying. But we can't feed on that kind of stuff. That's not going to feed our faith. If we're going to have faith, we've got to feed on something better than that. And we have something a lot better. That's what we want to talk about today. What are we feeding on? You know, faith is... I want to keep on this topic of faith being so important. Faith is how Jesus dwells in our hearts. Remember the verse in Ephesians chapter 3? I pray for you that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. That's a pretty big deal there, isn't it? It's actually how Jesus dwells in us. It's by faith. It's our shield against Satan's fiery darts. Take up the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. And they're flying now, aren't they? It's the shield of faith. It's how the righteousness of God comes into our life. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. It's how we're saved, by grace, through faith. And that's not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Lest any man should boast. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. The world needs to be overcome right now. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So I want to encourage us in our faith. We have good reason to be encouraged today. We have no reason to be discouraged today unless our hopes are in this world. Let's talk about the other side of it. Let me do one more verse here that I didn't get to. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, it's hard to know where to start here. Let's just start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. It's not that we're not going to have heaviness or face temptation, but there's something greater that God has in us. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. But look at what it says here in verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God says your faith is like gold. In fact, it's better than gold. And like what Dwight said about these pockets of light that he sees, we could maybe say that that's what he's looking for, is that gold, that tried faith, that faith that comes through trial, that's proven, and that's steadfast and not moved. That's the gold that God's after. That's the treasure in the field, maybe you could even say, that God saw and He said, I want that field. It's that faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Now I want to look at the negative side, just for a minute here. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. I want to share with us this morning that fear and unbelief are not given the proper abhorrence that they should have. If someone came to us and said, oh brother, I'm struggling with murderous thoughts towards someone. Oh my, we'd be alarmed. We would say, brother, come on. You need to rebuke that spirit. You know, turn to the Lord, repent. If a brother would come to us and say, or a sister or a brother and say, you know, I'm tempted to become a whore, a whoremonger. That's what it says here in chapter 21. You know, I'm struggling with that, struggling with those thoughts and just, you know, brother, sister, that's not what you want. Repent, turn from that. Rebuke that devil. That's a lie from Satan. If someone would come and say, you know, I was doing witchcraft the other night because I was hoping to, you know, control the spirits and so that to get this disease so it wouldn't come into my house. What would be our reaction? Brother, are you kidding me? Witchcraft? To try to keep sickness away? We've got something better than that. Brother, you need to repent. You need to turn. That'll take you to hell. If a brother came and said that, you know, I've been struggling through this trial and I decided to buy an idol. You know, I think maybe it might help me through. Well, we know our reaction would be, oh, A brother came to us, I'm struggling with lying. Brother, that'll send you to hell. Don't lie. Repent of that sin. But if a brother or sister comes to us and says, well, I'm struggling with fear and unbelief, we probably wouldn't do that. I don't think we'd be as alarmed. But according to these verses, we should be. In fact, that's the first thing mentioned in here. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. It says, but he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he will be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars shall all have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The first things mentioned was fear and unbelief. We need to change our mind about those things and see that that's an enemy from hell that wants to take me down to the pit with it, with the devil. That's not just a little thing. It's okay to just say, I'm just kind of struggling with it, or, you know, I'm having this little struggle with unbelief and fear. Now, yes, we can have fearful thoughts and we can have unbelieving thoughts and we can be fighting. And that's not saying that you are a fearful and unbelieving person. It's when you give into it. It's when you take it in and you are overcome by it. Remember it said here, he that overcometh. It's when you allow it to overcome you that you become called by God a fearful person or an unbelieving person. And therefore those things should be seen as utterly hateful to us. It's not a little thing. We just stand against that thing. And I believe here today that the Lord has put it on my heart to speak about this, against this, to expose that lying devil. The Bible says in Hebrews 3:12 that we need to take heed, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief. An evil heart of unbelief, God calls it. He says it's an evil heart. In departing from the living God. See, when we're in unbelief, we've departed from God. We've listened to another voice. We've listened to a stranger, not the good shepherd. And we've departed from the living God. God says, take heed, brothers. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Some of us need to repent of unbelief and fear. As if it was a sin that would take you down to hell. Because that's what it is. It's not a little thing. It's not a light thing. Fear and unbelief are enemies that are coming from the devil's realm. You know, when I was on my sabbatical, I was very much struggling. One of the main things I struggled against was unbelief. I'll just be honest with you. I had a lot of unbelieving thoughts. In fact, I'd say I was like tormented with it. It was a severe battle. And I had to just keep going. Keep going. Say, no, I don't want to believe that. I'm not going to choose that. No, God. No, God. And one night I had a dream. And I don't always have, you know, dreams like this, but sometimes you have a significant dream. I had a dream, and in the dream my daughter Faith and I were. We were in this high-rise building, fancy building, and we were running. We were running from demons. These creatures had wings like on their backs. They had hideous appearances on their face. They were crawling up the outside of the building, looking in at the windows, and we were like, kept going up the steps to try to get away from it. And at one point in that dream, I realized, I'm not going to be able to run away from this. And I stopped. And I said to Faith, and all of a sudden this spirit of faith came into my heart in the dream. And I said to my daughter Faith, I said, Faith, watch this. And here all these creatures were coming. with their fearful looks, with their abominable, awful whatevers to destroy me. And in that dream, I said, okay, so Faith, watch this. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get behind me, Satan. And at that moment, those demons shrank and crept off like this and just all left. They just all left. That's the power of Jesus' name. We don't need to listen to that lying devil who comes and fills our hearts with unbelieving thoughts and fearful thoughts. No, we have the name of Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, every devil needs to flee. And if you're tormented by those thoughts, and if you're defeated by those thoughts, I commend you to, first of all, repent, which I did a lot of that too. Oh, God, forgive me. Forgive me for giving into that unbelief. That's step one. But then you turn to the Lord. And we have the name of Jesus Christ. And those demons have been defeated already on the cross. And you don't have to give into those thoughts for one more day. I believe God wants us to loose a victory upon this congregation over that unbelief and that fear, that His people would rise up in the name that we've been given, the name of Jesus Christ that is above every name, the name of the one who has defeated the devil on the cross. Come on, let's use that name. And yes, let's repent where we have given into that. That's step one. But God showed me something in that dream. My name is powerful. And you can stand on my name. And the devils need to go. All right, what are these four pillars? Four pillars. God is. You probably recognize that from Hebrews. He that cometh to God must believe two things. The first is that God is. He exists. God is. The world around us is telling us God isn't. God's dead. God's out of the picture. We've got to fight this coronavirus. We have to do everything ourselves. No, God is. God is. That's pillar number one. Pillar number two. God is a rewarder. Do you believe it? Can you say those two things with me? God is first. God is. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. See, if you're going to come to God, you have to believe that, it says. You actually cannot come to God if you don't believe that God is a rewarder. Hebrews says it's impossible to come to God without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. Not He's a rewarder to some of those fortunate Christians, you know, who seem to have it together and do better than me. No, God is a rewarder of all who diligently seek Him. That's what the Bible says. And if you don't believe that, you can't come to God. If you wallow in that type of thinking of, you know, it's just not for me. It doesn't seem to work. I tried it and it didn't work. I've tried to get the victory over this, or I've tried this or that. You can't come to God according to the Word of God. You have to believe that He is a rewarder. Not sometimes, not for some special people, but He's a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him. And I take that to mean anybody who diligently seeks Him. All right. Next one. God cannot lie. That's what it says in the Bible. Where is that verse? Titus 1. If you want to turn there. Verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You believe that? That God can't lie? It actually says in another verse, it's impossible for God to lie. Where is that? It's Hebrews, I think. In two things, it's impossible for God to lie. I think it's Hebrews 5 or 6 or something. It's impossible for God to lie. And the last pillar, the Bible is God's Word. You believe it? Right there, you've got four pillars for an unshakable faith. God is. God is a rewarder. God can't lie. And the Bible is God's Word. And then we do what we did in that song, what we sang in that song, Tim. We stand upon the promises of God. And then we have something firm to stand upon. There it is. I've heard people say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That's the kind of faith it takes. That's real faith. Think about the centurion. Remember when he came to Jesus? He had his servant was sick. And he said, Lord, my servant is sick and so forth. He's going to die. Jesus said to him, I will heal him. The centurion said to Jesus, look, you don't even need to come under the roof of my house. Just say the word and it shall be done. What did that centurion do? He took Jesus at his word. Jesus said, I'll heal him. He believed it. He believed it so deeply that he said, you know, Jesus, you don't even need to come to my house. I'm not worthy for that. Just say the word right here and it's done. And Jesus said, I have not found so great a faith. See, faith is taking God at His word. We don't have Jesus, Himself in the flesh here today among us to give us words on things. But we've got something better in a sense, if we could say it that way. I hate to say it that way. Maybe that's not right. But we've got the Word of God. The whole Word. Who on earth is going to take it like that centurion did and say, Lord, according to your word, it shall be done. Think of the men in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith. They heard the word and they believed it and acted upon it. God told Noah to build that boat. It's going to be a flood. He heard it and he took it to heart. He took God at His word and he built the boat. God told Abraham, go to a place I'm telling you of. Abraham took God at His word and he left. Sarah, God said, you're going to have a baby. She took God at His word and it says that she received, I forget how it says, received strength to conceive seed, I believe it says. They took God at His word. That's what's needed in our day. Brothers and sisters, to get the Word of God, the promises that we need today, to get them into our heart, to take them, knowing that God can't lie and that this is indeed the Word of God. Paul commended the Thessalonians. He said, I commend you, brothers, because when you received the Word that we brought to you, you didn't receive it as the Word of men, but you received it as it was in truth, the Word of God. That's what the world needs from us. They're not going to do that. We are the ones to do that, to show them. It's like the day in the days of Esther when Mordecai said to her, you know, isn't it such that you have been raised up for such a time as this? That's what we're called to be. I think that's a wonderful opportunity. I don't relish, you know, tribulations and pain and you know, awful things. But I do relish being used of God, showing forth His praises in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, glorifying Him by the faith that He gives me. That's our calling. You know, I asked my children last night, I said, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, we thought about it. I guess we could all get sick and die. Physically, that's the worst thing that could happen, right? We could all get sick and die. Well, one of them said, well, Paul said that's to gain, so that wouldn't be bad. Amen. But, you know, I thought about it a little bit more. We thought about it. We said, you know, the worst thing that would happen is if we live in fear and unbelief. That would actually be the worst tragedy that could occur in our day, is that we would live and survive in fear and unbelief. Way better to die in faith and be with our Lord. Come on. That's the worst. We should fear that. That's the worst thing that could happen, is that we would let fear and unbelief in, and that's how we would live our lives. That thing we should be afraid of. Do you see how that puts a different twist on matters? We shouldn't be fearing the news and all this stuff that comes up. No, the thing that we should fear, like one of our presidents said, is fear itself. That we would actually live in fear and unbelief. That would be a tragedy for our day. Far better to die and be with the Lord in faith. And we don't get to control when we live and when we die anyway, do we? How many of you get to pick that? Anybody? It's not ours. I have no control over that. My life is in the hands of God, and so is yours. So this is an opportunity. I want to speak especially to, let's just say, anybody here, but I'm thinking of young people, especially who maybe you're not saved yet. You know what? God uses times like this to bring people to Himself. Maybe you've been looking at your parents or looking at other people, then you say, you know what? Their life doesn't add up. They're just hypocrites. I'm not going to become a Christian because of that. Hey, it doesn't matter what your parents or your whoever's are doing or not doing. That's not what we're going to be judged on. No, you need to think about who God is. I want to urge you today, God does not lie. The Bible is God's Word. And He says there's a day of reckoning coming. Now is the time to repent. Now is the time to turn your life to the Lord. That you can be one of those ones on the ship who's not afraid, who's singing praises during the trial. And God's in mercy, this is a day of mercy. God's offering His mercy to everyone. The door of the ark is open. To use the idea of Noah's Ark, the door's still open. And if you've not come in yet, if you've been on the fence, you should be afraid. You should be afraid today. You should be quaking in your boots. Because if you get sick and you die, you're not going to go to be with the Lord. There should be a fear. It's called the fear of God. And that's a good thing. That fear of God can turn you to Christ. A decision you'll never regret. So I'm here today to urge you, get in the boat. Get in that door before the door shut. Give your life to Jesus. Forget about looking at the hypocrites and the phonies and the whoever, whatever else it is. That's not what you're going to be judged on. You're going to stand or fall by what did you do with Jesus? Did you give your life to Him? Did you repent from going your own way and surrender to Him? Nobody's going to argue about what other people did or didn't do when they stand before God. There'll be speechlessness, I believe, about that. So take that opportunity. God is reaching out in love today. A wonderful opportunity. Well, how do you get faith? How do you get it? It is a gift. It says there in Ephesians, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man boast." It's a gift. God gives a gift of faith. Who does He give it to? Who? Believers. All right. Well, okay, that's a good way to say it. So I already talked about step one. I got five steps, how to get faith. Just for the sake of, you know, not that this is exhaustive or the only way to say it, but I'm just going to use these five steps. First of all, you repent of unbelief. You know what? If you've never been saved, you need to repent of your unbelief. Turn from it. Say, God, I've chosen unbelief to this point, even though I knew better, even though I knew Jesus is the Savior. Repent of your unbelief. Turn from it. And as I told you, that's what I did during my sabbatical. There was day after day after day where I just repented. I said, God, forgive me for my unbelief. Cleanse me of my unbelief. Deliver me from this unbelief. I turn from it. I don't want it. Oh, Lord, deliver me from it. And guess what he did? Hallelujah. Praise God, he did it. He didn't do it the first time I prayed. He didn't do it the second time I prayed. He didn't do it the first month I prayed or the sixth month. But he's faithful. He brought me through the way I needed to come through, I guess. He delivered me. And he will do the same for everyone else. So first step is to repent of unbelief. It's a damning sin. Unbelief will take you down to hell. It's not just a little struggle. You know, a little, oh, I have this little issue with unbelief. It's a damning sin. Fear is a damning sin that will take you to hell. Turn from them. Repent. Number two, ask God for faith. If you don't have it, ask Him. He's a good God. He gives good things to them that ask Him. In fact, He said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. We have these promises. We have the Word on it, right? We have the Word that came from God, who is a rewarder, who cannot lie, and who gave us His Word. Ask God to give you faith. And don't give up till you get it. There's some people ask God for something, they walk away, I didn't get it. No, when you know something is God's will, you don't stop asking. You've got His Word. He can't lie. Do you see the difference? Gave a tract to a guy in the toll booth one time and he goes, I tried that. I don't want it. No thanks. You don't try God. No, He doesn't lie. You don't try Him because He said He would do what He said He would do. Don't just try God. You cling to the Lord. Cling to that altar until He gives you what you need because He is faithful. All right, step three, go to the Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We don't just have faith in our good ideas, you know, or some of this name it and claim it thing. Well, I'm just going to claim that I'm getting, you know, a new house and a nice Mercedes-Benz and whatever. That's not faith. Faith is when we know what God told us in His Word and we take Him at His Word. We said, yes, Lord, I believe it. He said, whosoever will come to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you're here today and you're not saved, don't say, well, I don't know if God will take me or not. He said, whoever comes to me, I will not cast them out. Can God lie? No. Come on, let's hear it a little louder. Can God lie?
No.
Never. Praise God, He can't lie. He's looking for people on earth who are going to have these pillars in their life and not be moved. Not be moved. And I know all of us here in this room, we probably have things in our life that we wish would change, that God would do for us that hasn't happened yet. That's fine. Don't give up. Don't give up. Jesus talked about the persistence of prayer many a time. He said, be like that widow who just kept coming to the judge and would not let him rest. No, because if God said He's going to do it, it's a guaranteed slam dunk, no question about it deal. And so our job is just to hold on and not give up. And continue in prayer. Continue in faith. So you go to the Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But here's the thing. And maybe this sounds a little contradictory, but you have to mix the Word with faith. That's what it says in Hebrews. It says that they heard the Word in the wilderness, but they did not mix it with faith. In other words, they heard a Word from God who's a rewarder, who can't lie, and who gave them a Word, which said, I'm going to bring you into the land. Wasn't that what God said to them? They heard it, and 599,998 of them said, it's not going to work. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, we are well able to go in. God's going to bring us into the land. Two of them out of 600,000 men said, nope, God is. God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God can't lie. And God told us He's taking us in. So we're going in. That's it. Only two of them believed it. You have to mix it with faith. Number four, and this is sort of goes along with some of the others, but you choose faith. Did you know that faith is a choice? The Bible says, take up the shield of faith. How do you take up a shield of faith? That's a choice, isn't it? To take something up? Okay, what does that look like? Well, it looks like this. You've got fiery darts coming at you, it says in that very verse. They're coming left and right. They're wanting to stick in you. And God said, take up your shield of faith that I've given you, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You take it up and you say, no, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, that's a lie. No, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm not listening to that any longer. I'm not listening to this fear that coronavirus is going to kill me and kill my children. Get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Fear, get out. We choose faith. We take up our shield. You know, it says in, actually says in Philippians what we're supposed to think about. Let's just look at that real quick here. You know, God actually tells us what to think on. Isn't that nice of Him? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, God says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And now look what he says after. He says, those things which you have both learned, received, and heard, and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Isn't that what we need in our day? We need the God of peace to be with us. And Paul says, this is what I'm doing, guys. I'm in prison and been there for a while. I'm writing you this letter from prison. And I've been thinking about all the good and lovely and pure and praiseworthy things. And guess what? The God of peace is with me. And if you do what I'm doing, He's going to be with you too. So the coronavirus, it may be true. Probably everything that's being said about it isn't. Honest, just, pure. I don't think it fits that very well. Whatever things are lovely, this is one I like. This word lovely, it means friendly towards you. Friendly towards you. We're supposed to think about things that are friendly toward us. Is the killer virus something friendly toward us? I don't think it's very friendly to me. Again, it doesn't mean we just deny things and so forth. But we're not supposed to dwell on it and let it fill our thoughts and our life. Think about the things that are friendly towards you. Think about the things that are of good report. And you know, I looked in the Greek there, and it has the idea of a good omen. You know what I mean? Like a good omen. It's like something that says, you know what? Things are going to be good. This is a good sign. Think about things that are a good omen. Think about things that are virtuous and praiseworthy. That's what God says we're supposed to do. And we're going to have to do it. We all have a choice to do. Are we going to choose to think on the things that God tells us to? Or are we going to let our minds get absorbed and just filled up and carried along with the tsunami of fear and unbelief? And then the fifth thing I wrote was exercise what you have. You've got a little faith, exercise it. You know, it talks about your faith growing exceedingly. It's 2 Thessalonians 1 there. Your faith grows exceedingly. Well, use what you got. Exercise what you have. Ask God for more. And I want to end our thoughts here today with the statement, the fact, that we have someone who is the author and finisher of our faith. Let's not forget Him. He's the author. That means He conceived it. He wrote it. He made it. And He is the finisher of our faith. the thing that the devil wants to get us all to do is get our eyes off of the author and finisher of our faith and get us on to fear. I don't want to go there. I hope you don't either. We don't have to. This is a day of opportunity. Look, I'm basically, personally, you know, my personality is I'm a kind of a fearful guy. In my personality, in myself. It's the fact. A lot of times I look at the negative things. I can imagine these scenarios, you know, that my family kind of jokes about. I do it in a humorous way sometimes, but that's my nature, if I could say it that way. It's my old nature. I have a new nature, though. And that's the nature that I want to be ruled by. And that's the nature that I'm speaking to you from this morning, is that nature of Jesus, that faith in the faithful one. You know, ultimately, faith comes from looking at the faithful one. It's not drumming it up. Oh, I got to believe. No. God, I see who you are. I got to believe. It's more like that. I got to believe because, God, you are. And you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you, and you can't lie. And I've got the Bible, which is your word, that I can guaranteed take to the bank and be secure in. Is that good news today or what? Hallelujah. Come on, brothers and sisters, let's live the Christian life. Let's exhort one another daily so an evil heart of unbelief doesn't creep in. This is our hour. This is our opportunity. Yes, we may suffer. And yes, things may get way worse. Since when is it all about our best life now? Where did that come from? That's not in my Bible. My best life is coming. It's coming. But it's not going to be on this world. It's going to be with the Lord forever and ever. So that's my exhortation today. Just wrapping it up here. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. God is looking for faith. That's what He's wanting in each of us. Let's be people of faith. We're called believers. That's our name. I think that's all I have to say.
Well, I'll quote my brother Paul again. Is that good or what? Amen. Yes, praise God. God is good and faithful. Has God given something for you to share this morning? Just want to open it up for a few moments here. Anyone have a word of testimony, a word of exhortation to encourage the saints in this hour day? Raise your hand high. Yes, right up here, Susie. Anyone else? Get your hands up. We can be edified together.
Well, Brother Aaron called my wife's name. She said, go first. I said, I have something too. You know, God's going to give us, coming up here, opportunities to grow. The little thing tomorrow that gets in our way, that troubles us, these are the opportunities to grow. Those daily things. We need to welcome them. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into divers troubles, trials. Knowing the trying of your faith works patience. You let patience have that complete work. You may be perfect, tired, wanting nothing. So every trial is a trial of faith. And then when we have tested faith, we have authority. Then we have a life of authority. We have a word of authority. We have tested faith.
Praise God.
I remember when we lived in Florida and Clark was a baby. And the hurricane was headed our way, and I experienced intense fear. And and I really struggled. And then I found these verses that says that God rides on the wind, He walks on the clouds, and I was like, oh, so this is just... It's not anything to God. And so then recently I've been thinking about Psalms 29, and it talks a bit about the voice of the Lord and how the voice of the Lord is powerful, the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And it says all the different things that the voice of the Lord does. Seven powerful things the Lord does. And then the last two verses, the Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And I saw that the peace is part of his majesty and power.
Amen. Thank you. Who has the other mic? Okay, same microphone right up here.
So after Jesus explained some parables there in Matthew chapter 13, he references, I believe, a verse in Daniel chapter 12, and he says this in verse 43 of chapter 13 in Matthew, after the parable of the sower and the parable of the tares, and then the explanation of that. He says, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." And then he says, "Who has ears to hear, let him hear." And I believe he's referencing Daniel, chapter 12, last chapter of Daniel. The first verse there, it starts out saying that there's going to be a time of trouble such as there never was since there's a nation upon the earth. And in verse 3, he says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." And the next verse mentions that knowledge is going to increase. Men are going to be running to and fro over the whole earth. And in verse 10 of that last chapter, he says, "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." So we have an opportunity to shine as the stars forever and ever today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Someone else have the other microphone? No? All right. Same microphone.
I cannot help but thinking of this verse in John, 1 John chapter 4. It says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." So that's my cry today, is that I can dwell in the Father's love, then there will be no room for fear.
Thank you. Amen. All right, the other microphone.
I want to express thanks for the message, because I felt like it was what God was speaking to my heart. There was a scripture in Malachi that spoke to me a few days ago. God said, "Your words have been stout against me." And I just was thinking, you know, this is serious stuff. God says, you're talking against me. And then they said, "Well, how have we spoken against you?" And he said, "Because you said it's vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, walked mournfully before him," and so on. And he goes on. And then he says, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and a book of remembrance was written. And so it was just a reminder to me of what it means to believe in God and how serious it is to not believe in God, because that's when our words are stout against him. And I don't want my words to be stout against God. And I had to say, "God, you know, I do believe you. Your word is true."
Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise God. Let's say these four pillars together. All together again. So let's say them all together. I'll say number one, and then let's say them together. Number one, God is. Number two, God is a rewarder. Number three, God cannot lie. Number four, the Bible is God's word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Brother Paul, for sharing that message this morning. I'm so grateful that we were able to, to discern what God was speaking to us today. Us elders had a conference call this morning about 8:15, 8:20, and just seeking the Lord as to how we should respond. So I believe the Lord has led us. and we give him thanks. Maybe just one word on fear. God, Brother Paul expressed it very well. He said it's not that you maybe have a temptation toward fear, but it's when fear becomes a gripping thing in my life and we give into it, we give room to it. And so I think of another scripture that when I am afraid, I will what? I will trust in the Lord. So to have the emotion of fear is not sin. Is that right? So when a sudden circumstance happens and surprises us and it frightens us, that in itself is not sin. But if we give into that fear, it's a little bit the same as like lusting after a woman with desire to have her. To happen to see that is not sin, but lusting is. When we are tempted toward fear and we sense that emotion of fear, it surprised us. All at once there was a loud noise and I don't know what it is. You know what I mean? It sounded like an explosion or something. And the emotion of fear does take place. But we don't give in to it. It doesn't control our lives. We continue to trust. Amen. So God bless each of you. Thank you, Brother Paul, for the message. Is there anyone else yet before we close? Yes.
I want to thank you, Paul, for that message. I really appreciated it. One of the ones I don't think I've taken unbelief and fear seriously enough. And I want to repent of that, of all my unbelief and fear. I want to ask for all your prayers for me and my family. There's big things that we're facing. Most of them have been my fault. And pray that I'd be able to keep my focus off myself. I feel like I've been a failure, even as a Christian. But I'm willing to try after this message and after what God is showing me. I would appreciate your prayers that I could repent for my unbelief. One thing that could help, and I've been reading a book by Hannah Whitehall Smith called The God of All Comfort. And it's very good. I think it's a good thing to read. One of the things she brings out is in near the end of John, he says in chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, he says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that, believing, ye might have life through his name." And the signs and the miracles that Jesus did, I think, not only bring out the power of God, that God has that much power, but that's his character, to show compassion. And getting the right concept of God is a big step in being able to believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that's what I need to get a hold on. Anyway, just continue to pray for me and pray for my family. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Dan. And I just want to encourage you that it's not hard or difficult or far away. The word of faith which we preach is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. So be encouraged, brother. You have the key. You heard the word of the Lord this morning. I just want to exhort you to believe God. Stand on these four pillars and be amazed at what God will do in your life and in your family. Amen. All right. Up here.
I had to think of the story of Cain and Abel. How that God came to Cain and said, "If you do well, won't you be accepted? And if not, sin is crouching at the door and desires to have you and control you. But you can control it. You can kick it out. And I just thought that that applied so well to this scenario. God is doesn't look at the person in fear and say, you're doomed, except he's warning. He's reaching out in love and saying, won't you be accepted if you do well? If you make the choice, if you lay hold of these promises by faith, if you accept my way, and then you'll be accepted. And I thought that was just a beautiful revelation.
Amen. Praise God. The other microphone? Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to encourage you as well, Dan, and any one of us who might have, you know, dark places in our lives that we need deliverance from, or we need the light of Christ to shine upon. I was just impacted this week in our home. We're going through 2 Peter chapter 1. And it's a scripture there which says, he has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And then it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these he might be partakers of the divine nature. And then as you go on down through the chapter, later on it says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. So it's bringing out here, you know, the voice of God that came on the Mount of Transfiguration there, which Peter had seen. And then he goes on and he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Mm-hmm. And I believe those exceeding great and precious promises, as we embrace them, we take them by, you know, we take hold of them by faith. In other words, that is a sure word of prophecy that then shines into those dark places of our hearts. Mm-hmm. And we're just to wait on God because he's coming through. The day star will rise. The light will shine upon those areas of our lives. And deliverance and freedom will come.
Amen.
So I just thought I'd share that what was very much a blessing to my heart this week.
Praise God. Amen. All right. Well, thank you all for sharing. Appreciate that.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.